This is 90.3 KEDM Public Radio. I'm Corey Crow, and tonight we're live at Louisiana Delta Community College, and we've got the candidates for the 5th Congressional District with us tonight. You just heard the opening statements, and we're going to get into the questions now, and candidates will have one-minute answers on the questions, and again, we'll do the same thing with the timing. You'll see the signs, and then you'll hear the bell when it's time to wrap up. Mr. Hasty, the first question goes to you, and it goes back to what we were talking about a minute ago. There are, I believe, 24 parishes. It's a big congressional district from north to central Louisiana to south Louisiana to the Florida to parishes. I want to ask you, where are you from, and what in your life experience or your education makes you the best candidate?
Well, I was born in Vicksburg, across the river in Mississippi, but I was raised in Alexandria and Pineville area. I can't pick one specific address. We moved around a lot. But the experience that I've had that makes me the best choice is growing up in a high poverty community and a high poverty home. My mom at the time actually worked three jobs and still qualified for government assistance. And like so many other people in this district, when you run out of options, you know, you've got the military is one of the only ones that's never closed off to you. So that's what I chose. And one of the reasons we have so many problems in this district now is that not even the military is an option for a lot of people. So if you want somebody who is going to represent your interests, somebody who's been where you've been, and has suffered as you suffered, just take a look at my background. Thank you.
Thank you. That's Matt Hasty. Mr. Martin Lamel, that question goes to you. Where are you from in the district, and what in your life experience or education makes you the best candidate?
I am proud to be from Grambling, Louisiana, the place where everybody is somebody, home of the women's football coach, Eddie Robinson. What makes me so qualified for this race is that my diversity of skill and experiences will be well suited for this district. From my public and private experience working for companies including GE, IBM, as well as working for a tech startup, I've managed billion-dollar budgets, and today I lead the greatest institution in the state of Louisiana, Grambling State University. I'm a person who can build consensus and is always focused on collaboration. I want our Louisiana values to reflect the full breadth of society, so that each and every student, each and every parent, each and every family is able to be successful and thrive here in the 5th District of Louisiana.
Thank you, Mr. Lamel. The question next goes to you, Mr. Philip Snowden. Where are you from, and what in your life experience or your education makes you the best candidate?
Well, I was born at Confederate Memorial in Shreveport. I was raised in Dubuque, Louisiana, went to a segregated school, managed to attend Louisiana Tech University and Xavier University in Cincinnati and get an MBA. I believe that my education plus the experiences that I've had at major corporations well suits me to derive common sense solutions to some of the complex issues that we face in our nation. I believe that the upbringing from my father and my father was a pastor, my mother a homemaker, and we just had a simple life, but it was buttressed by the community. And this is why I'm actually doing this. It's my mission.
Thank you, Mr. Snowden. The question next goes to Luke Letlow. Where are you from, and what in your life experience or education makes you the best choice for a candidate?
Well, I'm Luke Letlow. I'm from Start, Louisiana, where just a stop sign on the map dot, that's about all. But my dad's a volunteer fire chief for the Start Fire Department. I went to Washtenaw Christian High School, Start Junior High, Start Elementary. Graduated from Louisiana Tech University in Ruston, Louisiana, with a degree in computer information systems. In 2004 to 2007, I actually lived in the Metro New Orleans region, where I served the 1st Congressional District at the time as the district director, which included Tangipahoa, Washington Parish. So I know this district better than anyone. I know the mayors, I know the projects, I know the roads, I know the bridges, I know the rivers, I know the mayors, I know the sheriffs. I'll work with everyone to get things done. I know the projects that need funding. I'll go to work on day one to make sure we continue the progress we've had.
Thank you, Mr. Letlow. Candy Kristoff, the question goes to you. Where are you from in Louisiana? What's your life experience or education that makes you the best candidate?
I am from Clinton, Louisiana, in East Feliciana Parish, and I feel that my strong spiritual conviction represent what this Bible Belt district represents. I am a business owner. I am a founder of a nonprofit organization. I'm able to work with people as a licensed clinical social worker in difficult situations. So it gives me a variety of people in different circumstances to work from the business to the nonprofit to those that are in need. And I think most of all, my honesty, integrity, and transparency, my Louisiana values, me being a mother and a woman, I think all of that together makes me uniquely positioned to be able to see things differently from my other counterparts so that I can bring home the resources that we need for District 5.
Thank you. That's Candy Kristoff. Mr. Scotty Robinson, the question goes to you next. Where are you from and what in your life experience or education makes you the best candidate?
Thank you, and I kind of touched on this during the introduction. Again, my dad was a school board member from the time I was in early middle school, well, I guess elementary school, and I watched him serve as I grew up, and I went to high school and went to college, and I got a job, and then I bought a business and ran for office myself and was elected. And again, that's why I'm running, because I've actually been elected. I've actually served the people. I'm the finance chairman for Ouachita Parish right now. We oversee a $80-plus million budget. We deal with the state, we deal with the federal side, we deal with FEMA. And again, I see the disconnect that there is between the federal level and the local level, and that's why I'm in this race. I know what it is to be a business owner, to be a representative, and to work with everybody. You know, a lot of what we do on the parish is nonpartisan. I tell people potholes aren't Democrat or Republican, and the floodwaters that we received didn't stop and knock on the door to ask who you voted for last election. You know, I want to go work for everyone because everyone needs to be represented.
Thank you, Mr. Robinson. All right, we'll move on down. I think everybody got a crack at that question. So, Mr. Lamell, I'm just trying to find out where everybody is on issues tonight. And so I wrote this down. How has Donald Trump done as president? And would you like to see any change, or are you happy with where we are?
Thank you for that question. When I think about analyzing results, success, I start with the facts. The most important fact before us right now is that more than 200,000 U.S. citizens have lost their lives due to COVID-19. That's unacceptable. And so I always judge a man or a woman not by the propaganda, what's said in the newspapers, or what's on the local conversation, but by the measure of the results they deliver for people. And so if we look at the measure of a presidency, judge that person based on that success or lack thereof.
Thank you, Mr. Lamell. Mr. Snowden, that question goes to you. How's the president done, and is there something that you would like to change, or are you happy with where we are?
Well, I'm certainly not happy where we are. We're all up in mass and trying to stay away from each other in order that we might not fall victims, as over 210,000 people have succumbed. I think that we are better than this. I think that we could be further along if we were able to marshal everyone together to fight our enemy, the COVID-19. So I'm not going to try to establish a grade. I just asked you to think about where we are. We're in a situation where if we don't quell this virus, we're going to go into a deep depression. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Snowden. Luke Letlow, that question goes to you. How's the president done? And are you happy, or are there things you'd like to change?
Sure. Well, look, I'm the only candidate that served as a delegate for President Donald Trump both times, both elections. I support the president. I believe the president has had a lot of success in the last 4 years. I believe that the economy was on one of the best tracks that we've ever seen under the last 4 years. Is he unconventional? Absolutely. I don't have to tell you that. Are there things I would change? Yeah, I'd probably tweak his Twitter a little bit. But in general, I believe that he has this economy moving in the right direction prior to COVID. I believe that he's handled COVID as well as anyone could, all things being equal. And at the end of the day, I believe that we needed someone to come in and just upset the apple cart. Quite frankly, we were caught in a cycle of back and forth. Is it better? We've got work to do. At the end of the day, I'm my own man, but I do support this president, and I hope he's reelected.
Thank you, Mr. Letlow. Ms. Kristoff, that question goes to you. How's the president doing, and are you happy, or are there things you would want to change?
He's failing. He's failing miserably, in my opinion. It may not be what everybody, what the consensus is, but in my opinion, he is. There's division among races to the highest extent, and I think that as a country, as a state, we're better than that. One thing that I think that the Hurricane Laura did, irregardless of what your party affiliation was, we came together as Louisianans and we said, what can I do to help my sister? What can I do to help my brother? That's who we are. And that's what I want to see our nation, our state, our district return to. And I don't think we're better divided. I think we're better when we're unified. And I think that comes from the top down. Unity is what we are about. And I think we need to have that from the top down. I'm not seeing that now. My dad always said, when you make a mistake, acknowledge it and make it right. I keep hoping and praying that he acknowledges and make it right. I'm still waiting.
Thank you. That's Candy Kristoff. Mr. Robinson, the question goes to you. How has Donald Trump done as president? What would you like to see change? Or are you happy with where we are?
Thank you for the question. I think it is, it's hard to argue with the economy over the last 3 years before COVID hit. And with COVID being what it is, something we've never dealt with before as a nation, I think the president has done as good as he can with the information he's had. I can tell you as far as locally and here in Louisiana, I'm disappointed in the fact that things are still shut down and what it's done to the economy. And I guess the last thing, and I don't know that anybody would disagree with the fact that, as another candidate already said, getting rid of his Twitter account or at least, you know, hitting the mute button occasionally would probably be a pretty good idea.
All right. Thank you. That's Scotty Robinson. The question next goes to Matt Hasty. How has Donald Trump done as president? Is there something you'd like to see change, or are you happy about where we are?
The short answer is Donald Trump's done an outstanding job. And I say this because the results speak for themselves. Pre-COVID, our enemies fear us. Our allies no longer take us for granted. And before COVID, our economy was booming. Now, I have a lot of problems with the methods that President Trump uses. I really think the name calling and some of the ways that he interacts with other world leaders, there's a lot of things we could improve upon there. But the entire conversation about Donald Trump needs to be reframed away from the visceral hatred that we have in this country right now. President Obama was blocked by Republicans when he was in office, because he rammed through Obamacare, and then he was blocked for 6 years. What we ended up with was an executive order on immigration. Now when you have President Trump, you're seeing the exact same thing, and that visceral anger that you saw from the Tea Party is now coming from liberals. But we can fix it.
Thank you, Mr. Hasty. The next question will go to Mr. Snowden first, and I may not have worded this right, so just bear with me here. I wrote, many areas are moving money from police departments to other community programs. They're calling it the defund the police movement in some areas. Do you support changing police budgets and putting it into other types of programs?
I believe that we should not defund the police. I believe that we should reform the policing in our state, in our parishes, in our towns and cities. We should not have it such that we are embarrassed in any way by our policing. And it should not be such that our hard-earned tax dollars, as few as they are, end up ever going to lawsuits that didn't have to be. And then there's one last thing. I think we are better than some of the gross things that are perpetrated by some of our police, not all. And we can do better than that with screening them and with revising some of our laws. Thank you.
Thank you. That's Philip Snowden. The question next goes to Luke Letlow. Do you support or oppose the defund the police movement? And what would you do differently?
I 100% absolutely oppose the idea of defunding our police. The truth is we need to continue increasing funding towards our law enforcement. And the reason is public safety is vital. If we don't have public safety, we can't have anything in this country. And so from the federal level, I've been proud to work on SAFER grants, on commissioner law enforcement funding, which goes for bulletproof vests that help protect our law enforcement officers, which goes for vehicles, which allows them to pursue those who want to hurt us. Remember, these are the people that run towards danger to protect us. Yes, there are bad apples, and we need to weed them out. We need to make sure, quite frankly, that in the screening process and the training, that that we don't have the problem that we may have seen in the past. But defunding the police is absolutely the wrong answer, and I will go to Washington and I will fight for more funding to protect our public safety.
Thank you. Luke Letlow. Candy Kristoff, that question goes to you. Do you support or oppose the defund the police movement, and what would you do differently?
As a social worker, that gives me, that's right down my sweet spot, because I have seen over and over again how many times we have people that have been incarcerated because of mental health issues, because of addiction issues. I have seen it because of other mental illnesses that are related. I don't think that we should defund the police. I think that reforming segments of it need to be. Right now, if we had a stray dog or someone wandering, you'd immediately call the police. And the police are trained to come out with the highest hilt of force. But not every call requires that. Not every call requires that. And so I think we need to have a segment of the police or a different segment of it that you would call if there was a homeless situation, if there was someone suspect of a mental health condition or a substance abuse issue, rather than bringing the total militaristic police force out. Thank you.
Thank you. That's Candy Kristoff. The question next goes to Mr. Scotty Robinson. Support or oppose the defund the police movement, and is there anything you'd do differently?
Oh, I think the idea of defunding the police is insane. I think we should defend the police. The funding they have in a lot of ways is not enough. As a police chair, and some people don't know exactly what the police chair does, we are not law enforcement, we are local government, but we work hand in hand with law enforcement daily, a lot of budgetary items, and there are budgets that come through our Office of Homeland Security. And it's never enough, but we go to each police force locally and say, what do you need? What can we help you with? What will make your job easier and help you work? And I vote to approve that every chance I get. But there may need to be some reform. There may need to be opportunities, some comprehensive training for our law enforcement officers so they can recognize in a stressful or dangerous situation someone that may be suffering from mental illness rather than just a criminal or someone who's out to hurt them, that they may be more risk to themselves than the officers, and I would certainly support funding some more help to train, but defunding them is out of the question.
Thank you. That was Scotty Robinson. Mr. Matt Hasty, support or oppose the defund the police movement, and would there be anything you'd do differently?
I oppose the defund the police movement. When we talk about these problems with police and the communities that they're policing, we need to remember a couple of things that police in America have a lot of authority on their own out policing the streets. And they should, because that's what their job requires. But in this country, the people who represent the government's power should be the most accountable to it. They should be most accountable to the people. Now, our police don't need less resources. They need more resources. No one interacts with a police officer on a good day. Every time a police officer gets called to a house, something's gone wrong. We need to give them better training for psychology. We need to give them better training for stress management. We need to pay them more, not less. And we need to hold them more accountable for when one of those bad apples do pop up. We make sure that we set an example for all the other ones out there. Thank you.
That is Matt Hasty. The question next goes to Martin Lamell Jr. Support or oppose the defund the police movement, and anything you would do differently?
So, Corey, the academic in me wants to talk about the premise of that question first. And so the premise of that question is based in this country's realization around social justice and racial equality. And so we cannot omit that part of the conversation. So peace and love to everyone who's been affected by violence. Do we need police reform? That answer is yes. I supervise a police force on a campus community. We've got 15 of the 25 necessary officers we need. And why do we lose those officers often? That's due to opportunity and lack of a livable wage. And so as we think about having police officers as a point of pride, a point of public safety, that requires reform, better training, better wages, better opportunities, so that the police officers are equipped and empowered to serve our country and serve our communities. Thank you.
Thank you. That's Mr. Martin Lamell Jr. Once again, I want to remind you, if you don't know what's on the ballot, there's quite a bit. And there's a lot of candidates, a lot of folks running for this race, a lot of folks running for Congress, presidential race, local issues, judges, lots of things coming up. I want to remind you to go to the Go Vote app. And we spell that the Louisiana way, the G-E-A-U-X, Go Vote app. You can find out where you go to vote. You can find out when the polls are open. You can find out details on the candidates. And you can also request ballots there. So a good place to go for information. All right, the next question goes to Mr. Luke Letlow. And I need to point out for our folks listening on the radio, we may have some new folks that just joined us. We're at Louisiana Delta Community College this evening. These are the candidates for the 5th Congressional District here in Louisiana. And we're live out here this evening at the Technology Center. Mr. Letlow, I was just thinking about COVID-19, and we've touched on it quite a bit. Where do you stand on how we've done with COVID-19 and how our lawmakers have done? And do we need to open back up, or do we need to shut down and do things differently?
Yes. One, I believe that we absolutely need to reopen our economy. I'm one who believes in self-reliance, and I believe that people can make good decisions on their own. And so while we've been cautious, and I think both at the state and the federal level, I think we've taken numerous precautions with COVID-19, we are now at a place where if we do not open our economy, we're in real danger. You've heard the feds talk about how our economy is in danger. And we have had countless small businesses fail because they can't continue to operate. I support a full reopening. I believe that we have a personal responsibility to protect our brothers and sisters. And so I wear a mask unless I'm socially distanced as I am here now. But you got to leave it to personal responsibility. I believe that most of our leaders have done the best they can. This is an odd thing we've had to go through, but it's time to open our economy now.
Thank you. That's Luke Letlow. Candy Kristoff, the question comes to you next. Where do you stand on COVID-19? How are our lawmakers doing? And do we need to shut down or reopen?
Well, one, I think that it's absolutely insane that we have been given mixed messages from our administration about wearing masks and whether or not COVID is a hoax, especially when we've had over 200,000 lives lost. My neighbor four blocks away from me died because of COVID. I have a minister that's in this area, did 9 days on the vent because of COVID. It's real, and it's killing us. black and white, rich and poor. And it's something that we all need to be in consensus with. We all must follow the science. I'm pleased with what Governor Edwards has done thus far, and I think we need to follow the numbers. If the numbers indicate that we need to close down, then that's what we need to do, because it doesn't matter to a mother or to a father or grandfather how much money you got in the bank when you're standing over a cold grave.
Thank you. That was Candy Kristoff. The question next goes to Scotty Robinson. Where do you stand on how we're doing with COVID-19? How are lawmakers done? And do we need to shut down or reopen the economy?
Oh, I absolutely support opening back up. My issue is with lawmakers, mostly on the state level, and what they've done to us over the last several months. That we get one piece of information, and they move the goalposts. And they tell us, okay, on this day, we're going to have a press conference and we'll find out what's, and they move the goalpost again. And it's time to open back up. And I think people can be responsible. If you're uncomfortable going out, if you can't go out, if you're at health risk, don't go. Don't go out there. But I think it's unfair the way businesses have been treated. And people are going broke. And I agree, you can't take your money with you, but a lot of people aren't going to have any money to take with them to the grave anyway because they're going broke. They can't operate. They can't go to a restaurant. And this has affected people on every single level, every socioeconomic level, poor people, wealthy people. I mean, I've got friends that are professionals and people who work in restaurants and people who work even with our courthouse, and we've had to shut down for days. And it's time to open back up. People need to be responsible. The economy can't take much more of this.
Thank you. That's Scotty Robinson. The question next goes to Mr. Matt Hasty. Where do you stand on COVID-19? However, lawmakers done, and do we need to shut down or reopen?
I don't recognize the authority of the federal government to shut down the economy. So the statements coming from your 5th District congressional candidates about whether or not we should open or close the economy, I don't think those decisions should be made from Washington, D.C. I think they should be made at the local community level. Here in Louisiana, the police juries should get all of the current information from their state government, which should be provided by the federal government, and then they should make the best decisions for their local communities on what to do about COVID-19. That's how I believe it. Now, 21 October 2014, I remember it because it came up on my Facebook memories, I have a post that says, one day the media is going to need to disseminate information that will be the life and death for its viewers, and no one will believe them. We've been cultivating this culture politically and through our media for decades, and now no one knows what to believe.
Thank
you. The only way to fix it is to fix it.
Thank you. That's Mr. Matt Hasty. Mr. Martin Lamell Jr., where do you stand on COVID-19 right now? How are lawmakers doing, and do we need to shut down or reopen?
So through COVID-19, we have learned the power of pivoting during a pandemic. We can't stay idle, we have to act. I was fortunate to lead our efforts at the campus and help 5,000 plus students do just that, reopen a very safe, methodical manner. What we need our legislative body to do is pass a stimulus package that is going to focus on the sustainability of this country and this economy. That includes expanding healthcare access, affordability, and accessibility. Expanding access to rural broadband so that our students can connect with technology in the comforts of their homes. And yes, investing in small businesses and frontline workers who were left out of the previous legislation through the PPP loan program. We've got to focus on the future and forward movement for a sustainability package that our congressional leaders need to deliver in January. I hope to do that.
Thank you. That's Martin Lamell Jr. The question next goes to Mr. Philip Snowden. Where do you stand on COVID-19 and how have our lawmakers done? And do we need to shut down or reopen?
I think our lawmakers have tried to follow what the CDC would prescribe. I also think that there's been confusion on what we should actually do. But more importantly, I feel like we need to really treat this as though it's a war, because it really is. And we need to work together and do as one would do in industry. We normally take the best practices and use those to come out with the best solutions. Just use some common sense in some cases. And right now, we need to really work together and follow the precepts of the experts and use data to determine our direction. We will be able to defeat the pandemic to the extent that we do that. Thank you.
Thank you. That's Mr. Philip Snowden, and I believe everybody got a chance at that one. So we'll move back to this side. Ms. Kristoff, we'll stay on Corona for just a moment. Because of the coronavirus, many Louisiana residents are at the point of eviction. If you're elected, how do you help?
We will pass a stimulus program that will help them to be able to take care of their rent. Not everyone was able to take advantage of the PPL program. As a landlord, we do have people that are not able to pay their rent because they've not been able to work. We have, not everyone in the district, as you all know, has a retirement plan or have a savings. Many are just paycheck to paycheck, and many are not even paycheck to paycheck. They're just in between paychecks, and they're relying on loved ones to help them. So I think that we send our tax dollars up so that it can be used when our people need them. And I think that that's what it is. Our tax dollars are not free will offerings. We send them up. We have to pay taxes so that when we do need as a people, our government will send that resource down to help us. That's what it's there for.
Thank you. That's Candy Kristoff. Mr. Scotty Robinson, because of the coronavirus, many Louisiana residents are at the point of eviction. How would you help if elected?
I think spending in Washington is out of control. I want to open with that. But that being said, I absolutely think another form of assistance has to be made for tenants, but also for landlords. I didn't say this in my opening statement, but that's what I do for a living. I have rental properties throughout North Louisiana, and I've lost count of how many can't pay, and it's because they worked at the airports, which were shut down, or restaurants or bars. One of my best tenants I've ever had is in the flooring industry, and he hasn't been able to go in people's homes for months because they were scared of the coronavirus. And through no fault of their own, they couldn't work. They didn't have the money to pay their rent. But that's also not my fault as a business owner, as a property owner. And now there's a nationwide moratorium on evictions. And I don't want to evict anybody. I'd like to never evict anybody in a perfect world. But it's come to the point where my bank's calling me. I'm getting emails saying, hey, when can you pay? We need you to help. What can you do? And if I have no help, because I don't qualify for PPP, I'm a small business myself, but I am the employee, and my wife's occasional help. But that's, so people need help.
Thank you, sir. That's Scotty Robinson. Mr. Matt Hasty, the coronavirus has hit many Louisiana residents. They're at the point of eviction. How do you help?
The lever of government that no one talks about in these situations anymore is taxes. And I think that's because if we start to talk about using taxation as a lever for how to help people when they need it, politicians are afraid it might be a slippery slope. Landlords have to pay their taxes, reduce their taxes to zero, sit down with them and come up with a business plan where they can keep their residents and also not lose any money. They have to pay their mortgage company. Reduce the taxes for the mortgage company, contingent upon residents staying inside of their homes. There are ways to help people. If you look at the dartboard and your bullseye is to make sure that no one is evicted because of COVID, there are ways to make it happen without spending $25 trillion. We've just got to remind the government that they work for us. Thank you.
That is Matt Hasty, Martin Lamell Jr. Because of the coronavirus, sir, many Louisiana residents are now at the point of eviction. If you're elected, how do you help?
Again, for me, it's about a sustainable future for Louisiana and for this country. We have to have leaders and elect leaders who understand empathy. Empathy at the heart of the matter, empathy in times of crisis and challenge and change. And so what does that translate into from a solution or a policy standpoint? We've got to work with public and private partners to work on a solution that ultimately provides cash infusion immediately for businesses who need it, whether it's a small business or a sole proprietor, and then assist with financial planning and development for families across this country so that as they think about the planning for the future, they have the assets, the education, and the resources. Yes, we need short-term infusion to ensure sustainability, but we need a long-term plan for everyone in this country around economics.
Thank you. That's Martin LaMel Jr. Mr. Philip Snowden, because of the coronavirus, many of our Louisiana residents are now at the point of eviction. If you're elected, how do you help them?
How do you help them? You help them with more than just empathy. You help them with practicality. Unfortunately, if you evict someone, then where are you going to get the next tenant that can pay? We're in a downturn right now, and you aren't going to necessarily be able to find someone to fill that spot anyway. So if we have a moratorium on evictions, why should we have to go through evicting people and getting other people that can't pay? We need to go ahead and have a stimulus, but a targeted stimulus at those who have truly lost their jobs and cannot pay. That if they're able to go ahead and pay with that money that they receive from the stimulus, they can in turn pay their rents. Thank you.
Thank you. That's Mr. Philip Snowden. Mr. Luke Letlow, because of the coronavirus, many Louisiana residents are at the point of eviction. If you get elected, how do you help?
The first thing we need to do is reopen our economy. If we reopen our economy, people have jobs, they're able to pay their rent, and business owners who own those properties will in turn get paid. But to your question, I have great empathy for those who have a rent that they can't pay. I also have great empathy for those business owners who own those properties that aren't getting the rent they deserve. Now imagine when a hurricane comes through and knocks off shingles or hurts that building or the toilets get stopped up. Who fixes that? The landlord. The landlord pays that expense. So the answer to that is absolutely to get a supplemental bill through Congress that does help with this problem. The way to solve it is actually getting money directly to the landowner and not going to the tenant.
Thank you. That's Luke Letlow.